Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Message Podcast.
All God's people said, Amen. Amen simply means so be it. We agree with that. We are grateful for the blessing that God offers to us that we see in the scripture we read about. So glad that praise team, thank you for leading us, Daniel. Thank you for leading us this morning and thank you for being here today. We're glad that you're here. Had a good first service, and it's good to be here in the house of the Lord today to worship. We had the Kairos video is an illustration of one of the ministries that Trinity is involved in. We have some people that go out to the prisons. Chair Wallace really kind of does more with that than anyone, and I know she's looking for folks that would help. They'll go into the Lane Murray unit this coming weekend, and they're asking people to pray for that ministry. There's a table in the foyer where you can sign up to say that you'll be praying for that. They create a little link on the chain so that the offenders will know that there's people supporting them during that Kairos event. So we can see the power of the gospel in that kind of transformation of life, and we're so grateful for that. Yesterday, we took a group of kids to a Bible drill competition. We had two teenagers, four children, went to College Station where they competed.
I got so.
Outside.
Somebody's in love.
There's the real folks that went to do the competition. We took them to the Grand Station, which is a kind of an arcade there in College Station after the competition. And so Jan and I got in that 3D machine. We were swatting mosquitoes. Kind of looked like a deacon's meeting, didn't it? I have a lot of practice with that. Be quiet. Well, the reason we bring up the Bible drills is because it's an intentional way to have your children memorize scripture, to learn the books of the Bible, to know the core passages. Where's the resurrection? Where is the love chapter? Where is the last things? Where is that in scripture? Where is the resurrection chapter? Where's the baptism of Jesus? So there's 30 key passages that these kids learn by memory. And there's 75 verses over 3 years they memorize, put in their heart, and they're able to stand in front of people and be able to find any text in 10 seconds. You get into the youth drill that takes 8 seconds. So it's an opportunity to drill the young people so that they know the Bible. I want you to put your children in Bible drills. Come on Wednesday night, let your children, your grandchildren be exposed to this training. You know, when I was in high school and junior high, you went through football practice or basketball practice or whatever drill. If you're in band, you learn how to march, but it's drilling over and over and over. Discipleship is learning the Bible. Discipleship is about becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And the very heart of discipleship is the scripture. That's where we learn the word of God. So the kids have an intentional program that they can learn the word of God. And it's worth the effort, and it also helps to bring it to the house, because then the parents and grandparents are working with the children in the home on these scriptures. So it helps you as a parent to be able to have a devotional in your home with your kids. So I'm encouraging you to get involved with that. And if you happen to go to contest sometime, then go to that arcade and play that 3D game. It was a lot of fun. My wife said I hit her once or twice on that. She thinks it was on accident. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 28 as we look at discipleship, becoming a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. We're talking about things that help to bring life back to a church, and discipleship is something that helps renew a church spiritually. We've talked about the authority of the Bible, the identity of the church, the intensity of prayer, the joy of worship, the blessing of unity, and the evangelism we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about discipleship from this text in Matthew 28. It's a well-known text, and we've preached from it before, but it says a lot about making disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus commanded his disciples to do before he ascended back into heaven, to go into all the world and make disciples. And so Trinity Baptist Church has adopted as its vision statement that for the glory of God, for the glory of God, we exist to make fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ by every means possible. That is our task. That's the task of the church. But so often the church begins to drift from that. They forget why they exist, what God's commanded them to do. And so we're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And this is what the Bible says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We are commanded to go into the world and make disciples. The word disciple is the word mathetes. It's to be a learner, to be a follower, to be one that adheres to a doctrine, an imitator of the teacher. One Bible dictionary says it means student, learner, pupil, to enroll in the school. We are students of Jesus Christ. And God's goal for our life is that we would become like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So if you were to ask me, what's God's plan for my life when I choose to become a follower? God's plan is to make you like Jesus. God wants you to become like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to minister to people like Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 2, "Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you." He wants you to think like Jesus. Jesus thought like Scripture. That's why it's so important to get Scripture in our heart and in our mind. And so the Bible says when a person begins to follow Christ, they are baptized. He says, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Oftentimes when I talk to children about baptism, we talk about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but they're reminded of the fact baptism's like a wedding ring. You are married without wearing the ring, and you are saved without baptism. But baptism's the public statement of your faith to the world. My wife wants me to wear the ring, and I want her to wear the ring. It's a symbol of our covenant with one another, and baptism's the symbol of your covenant with God. It's the public proclamation of your faith. It's a picture of dying and rising from the dead. It's a symbol of how the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. All this is a part of baptism. And you may say, "Well, you know, I've been a follower of Christ, but I've never been baptized." And you might ask that question, why should I be baptized? See, I'd ask the question, why wouldn't you be baptized? What keeps you from being baptized? So the command for Jesus, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I tell kids, I'll raise my hand, and I'll say, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, I put you under the water, I count to 100. And if you're still breathing, I bring you back up." We don't count to 100, but we do baptize. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, there's the pattern in the book of Acts of baptism. The man said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Understand, this was a baptism of someone who was a believer. You don't find baptism in the Bible of people who aren't believers. There's not infant baptism in the Bible. It's baptism of a person who's made a conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. And baptism is immersion. They take them under the water, bring them out of the water, because it's a picture of death and of resurrection. That's the whole idea of baptism. So if you've never been baptized, I'd love to talk to you about that decision, about following Christ in baptism. And then baptism begins this journey of faith, this discipleship. And let me tell you a couple things about what Jesus says about discipleship. One, discipleship begins with believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe He came into the world to die for our sins. You believe that He rose again from the grave. You believe He's alive today. You have thought about your life. You used to be an atheist. You used to then think there was a God. You used to question the Bible. You thought about Islam. You thought about Buddhism. You thought about other religions of the world. Maybe you thought, well, maybe there's a God, but it doesn't matter. But at some juncture in your life, through the Word of God, through some witness of the Christian faith, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you decided that the Bible is right after all, that Jesus Christ is true, the Son of God who died and rose from the dead, and you embrace that gospel. That's when you started your discipleship journey. You became a believer. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you're not a believer. In Acts 14, verse 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Why? Because all of us go through dark times in our life. We need people to strengthen us. You probably know some believers who are drifted from the Lord who need strengthened, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, persevere, and saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that the trials of life are over. It means that the God who made you will walk with you through them. You have an advocate you didn't have before. Someone who'll go with you. And so when Jesus ends this text, He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that wonderful? And so we have this promise from the Lord that, yeah, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be struggle. Sometimes we may drift, but we're encouraged to resolve in our heart to continue to serve the Lord, even in the midst of those heartaches. It's been several years ago, the Baptist Standard shared the story of Sam Davis, whose wife Nancy was murdered by drug smugglers in Mexico, and the couple was ambushed. Out of his grief, he said, I miss her, but these people who killed her need to be saved. I pray for them that God will have mercy on them and help them to know Him. Don't think that taking the gospel to the ends of the earth is an easy task. Don't think that becoming a devoted follower of Jesus Christ doesn't have its risk. It's not going to cost you something. Listen, following Jesus Christ ought to cost you something. He gave His life for us, and He said to us, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily, or he cannot be my disciple. So you and I are called to this life of discipleship, and it might be some pain in the sacrifice, as we sang in the song. Listen, I told the early church, I'm going to tell you, you're not on a cruise ship. Bring me some more tea. I'd have another Coke. I'm going to go lounge in the pool a while. No, you're on a battleship. There are no passengers on a battleship. We're all members of the crew. We're all part of the battle. Nobody just lounges through the church as if, you know, God is just serving us as we go through life. Friend, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and they crucified Him. And He rose from the dead, and He's given you His Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, lives in you. We are on a battleship. That's why we want to take these kids and impress on them the Word of God. That's why we resolve as a church, that as much as is possible for the glory of God, we will make fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not drifting through this world, man. We have a mission. We have a mission. I guess the question I ask as I say all of that, am I a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you helping people in your sphere of influence become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? This task we have until the Lord returns is to make disciples. Discipleship begins with believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Discipleship, secondly, is a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm learning about Christ. I'm understanding more about Christ. I'm growing closer to Christ. I'm experiencing the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find myself praying when I drive, when I walk, when I think, I'm thinking more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to become like Him. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may God bless you with His special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. I love that. Discipleship is coming to know Jesus better and better. As we know Jesus better, His divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. How about that? God has given you everything you need to live a godly life. He wants you to know Christ better and better. I've heard people say, you know, I could be a better Christian if it wasn't for the church, one for my husband, one for my wife, one for my kids, one for my work. I mean, all these reasons why I can't be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. But here the text promises that as we follow the Lord, He gives us everything we need. You have everything you need to be a devoted follower of Christ. And I'll tell you something else. Following Christ and growing as a disciple is an exciting journey. It's an exciting journey. Hey, there's nothing boring about this Christian faith. Man, do you know what it is that you say you believe? You believe that the Spirit of God inspired men of old to write down the Bible, and this is your authority for life. It tells you how the world began. It tells you the love of God to the point that God would send His Son to die for you on a cross. It tells you the last things, how Christ is coming again with the armies of heaven, establishing His kingdom on the earth. Eventually, we're going to all be in heaven together. It talks about the last thing. You have any idea what it is you say you believe? That's exciting. I heard of a little girl went to her grandparents' house on Sunday. They went to church, came home, and their conviction was that Sunday was holy. You shouldn't go out. You shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be swinging. You don't go fishing. You just spend the day in meditation. She said she wandered around, you know, and then Grandpa took a nap, and Grandma took a nap, and so she went walking on the road, and she came across this old mule, and the mule was just standing there, his head down like this. She reached her hand through the fence, patted the mule on the head, and said, "Poor old thing, you must have religion too." Now, following Christ is exciting. It's a journey, man. God's transforming us to be like Jesus. And we want to do that. Now, why don't some people grow in their faith? Well, I think Jesus explains this in what's called the story of the sower, the seed, and the soil. He tells it in the three Gospels, in Matthew 13, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8. The sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower is the person who's sharing the gospel. Jesus might be referring to Himself as the sower. He went everywhere and preached the kingdom of God. And it might be the disciples that are sowing the seed. And then it talks about the seed is the word of God. That's what Jesus said. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And the soil is the different kinds of hearts on which the seed lands. That's the difference as to whether a person grows in their faith. What kind of heart do I have on which the seed has fallen? Some hearts, Jesus said, are like very hard ground. That's this far left. That's the birds. And the birds come. The seed doesn't find any soil. It lands on the ground where men have walked. It's a path. And the birds come and eat it. You've heard people and you've seen people. They hear the gospel. They ignore it. They don't care about it. Don't want anything to do with it. That's a very hardened heart. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There can be hard hearts. Then there can be stony hearts. All of us are one of these four, by the way. And you can ponder in your heart, what am I? Jesus said some have very stony hearts. In other words, there's some soil, but most of it is rock. It looks like my pasture. Seed falls on it. There's a shallow soil. It comes up, but then the sun beats down, and it has no root, and it doesn't last. I've seen people that come, you know, they hear the gospel. Oh, that's so exciting. I'll get saved. And they get saved. Maybe they get baptized. I don't know whether the commitment was real or not. I don't know. But they fall away. You ever seen that? There's a little joke going around. If you want somebody to quit coming to church, then baptize them. And they won't come back. Yeah. There's no depth to the soil of their heart. And then here in the middle is a weedy heart. The soil is good. Now remember, this is Jesus who taught the parable. The soil is good, but it's so full of weeds, of thorns, of thistles, that the seed comes up, but the weeds choke it out. The soil's good, but the heart is too full of other things that the seed can't grow. Jesus said it like this. He said, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of sin, and the pleasures of this life, they choke out the seed so that it has no way to grow. Think about your heart. What's in my heart? What else is growing in my heart that prevents me from really following Jesus Christ? I've got some other distractions. I have some other hobbies. I have some other priorities. There's things. I want to be a follower of Christ, but, you know, now's not a good time because I've got a lot of things going on. Here's a good question for you. What's more important in your life? What are you willing to give up to be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? So the Bible says in this soil, it wants to grow, but man, the soil is so... I was thinking to myself, somebody needs to hoe that heart. Somebody needs to hoe that heart. When I was a kid, we had to hoe the garden. That means you went through and you hoed out the nettles and you hoed out the Johnson grass and you hoed out anything that wasn't part of the corn or potatoes or whatever it is my dad planted. We had to hoe the row in order that the plants could get all the nutrition of the soil. Let me ask you a question, friend. What in your heart needs to be hoed? I think all of us have something. Something's prevented us from becoming everything that God wants us to be. We have everything we need. He just said that. But something's keeping us from becoming everything God wants us to be. So Jesus told this story, and I believe that we can change our hearts. I believe that we can get depth to our soil. We can pray for God to help to change, make our heart more soft. Maybe there's some things in our life that we need to get rid of so that the Word of God and the mission of God can be more priority for us. So here's a couple of thoughts about discipleship for yourself. Number one is to seek God personally. I know you seek God. Seek God personally. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know we want to seek God as a church and we want to seek God with our friends, but listen to me. There needs to be this resolve that says, even if nobody else seeks God, I will. I'm going to decide. I'm going to get together, discipline in my heart. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to share. I'm going to worship. I'm going to make this part of my personal commitment to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to seek God personally. Because there's a lot of times, again, in life where we will say, you know, I'd be a better husband if it wasn't for my wife, or I'd be a better preacher if it wasn't for the church, or whatever. Always somebody else. Seek God personally. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In the story of Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, the one we talked about a moment ago, he was baptized. But what's so curious about the Ethiopian eunuch is there was no church for him to connect to. He went on to Ethiopia and Philip was taken out of the way. We have no record of who discipled this Ethiopian who went back to Ethiopia. But somehow, man, history says a great church was birthed in Ethiopia, and they think that it was this man who Philip shared the gospel with who birthed that church. God used him. Somehow, his resolve, his determination, his discipline, he had the Bible, he became a disciple, even though there was nobody to help him in the journey. Ah, you seek God personally. Secondly, lead your family. God's plan in the Bible for training people is the family. That's what God's plan is. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. There's all this emphasis in Scripture about family. Came across a great picture for Bible drills. Matt and his family come to the early service, and Jace's son got involved in Bible drills, and so now they go home, and Ashley, the wife, sent me this picture of all three of them searching the Scripture. I thought, that's beautiful. This is the goal. This right here is the goal. Not just to get people to come to a church building, but to take the worship to their home. Your home is a place of prayer. Your home is a place of reading the Bible and memorizing Scripture and seeking after God and encouragement in the faith. That's the goal. You come to church, you have 1 or 2 hours, but you got time at home to disciple your children. I said, Matt, can I use the picture? He said, only if you can Photoshop me in with my hair looking better than it was. So Jace yesterday was doing his Bible drills in College Station. I just praise God. I praise God. I don't know all about Matt's journey, but I'm telling you, if you talk to him, he would say he's a different dad than he's ever been. Let me ask you this question. Quit asking questions, preacher. Do you want your children to be the kind of disciple of Jesus Christ that you are? Do you want your grandkids to follow Christ the way you have? Or do you have some aspirations more for them than what you did? And I'm telling you, you can't change the past. You can't think, oh, I should have taken that time. I should have done it. Should have. Doesn't matter anymore. That's gone. The question is, what can I do now to transform my home, to pour this faith into my children and my grandchildren? Oh, to be a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to grow personally. I want you to lead your family. I want you to connect with community. The Bible says, teach them to observe all things. In other words, the disciples are teaching other disciples. This is why we have the church. Acts 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. If I was a new believer, if I had just gotten saved, if I just got baptized, and I would take advantage of everything the church had to offer to nourish my soul. I would get involved in whatever I could get involved in. Let me just give some thoughts. Be there for Sunday morning worship. Be there on Wednesday night. Get in a Bible study class. Take the Membership Matters class. Get connected to a life group. Get my kids in the youth group. Get my children in Bible drills, children's ministry. Get involved in vacation Bible school. Go on the family mission trip. Do it. Go to summer camp. Take your kids. Send your kids. I would take advantage of everything the church had to offer to nourish my soul. Because this is a hard life. And we need one another. So we want to connect with community. And finally, you want to live it daily. being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is not just for Sundays. Okay, it's a 24/7. I am a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. This is my life. This is my life. Philippians 3 verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Philippians 1 6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ is at work in me. I want to cooperate with Christ. Lord, and God uses his church. And this is my life. This is not just a weekend gig. Man, this is my life to follow Christ. So discipleship begins when we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But discipleship's a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And thirdly, discipleship is built on the word of Jesus Christ. If you were to ask me, what's the most important thing? Sam, if there's something, I mean, there's prayer and worship. What's the most important thing in discipleship? I would say to you, the Word of God, the Bible. To start to read the Bible, get into the discipline every day. If you don't know where to start in the Gospel of John. Start in the New Testament, read the book of Matthew. And then I would begin to find scriptures that meant a lot to me, and I would memorize them like we're doing with these kids. Memorize these scriptures. The one we just did this morning. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even the other day. Learn scripture. Get it in your heart. This is the most important for discipleship. So Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now here's the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read it together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This is the tool that God uses, is the scripture. I'll tell you what, the Bible instructs us on how to live. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live that way, and the church encourages us to live that way. We have what we need to God to transform our life. But discipleship is built on God's word. I want you to learn the word. I want you to obey the word. James chapter 1 verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. I want you to accept the word as truth. This is hard for people. I think the Bible is just a good book. No. No, it's a good book, but it's more than a book. It's the Word of God. Jesus said, teach them all things. So you don't want to pick and choose. I kind of like this, but I don't like that. We ate at Golden Corral yesterday. I'm surprised I didn't have a video of that on the screen. Okay? Golden Corral is great because you can think, you know, I don't want any cauliflower, but I sure like this shrimp over here. Could you make my steak medium rare? Okay, that's good, right? Salad, my wife said, here's a salad. I'm a salad. I'm a man. I want meat. The beauty of Golden Corral is everybody can have whatever it is they want. You don't have to eat what you don't want. That is not the Bible. That is not the Bible. Every word of God proves true. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, your word is truth. I want you to respect the whole word of God. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said this. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What is it that makes us a disciple indeed? If we abide in his word. Word, to dwell, to endure, to remain, to stand, to continue. That's what the word abide is. This is the source of my authority. I'm committed to the Word of God. And even when many times the Word of God is in conflict with this world, I will choose to believe the Word. I am shaped by the Scripture and not the culture. Repeat after me. I am shaped by the Scripture and not the culture. And I want my children to be shaped by the Scripture. So I'm reading a book called When Faith is Forbidden. It's a great book. I'd encourage you to get it. The last story was about Zargos, who lived in Iraq, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ in 2008 after having a dream about Jesus. He began to believe that Christ Jesus was the Son of God, and he believed that Islam was not true, and so he began to seek out local Christians. You may not know this, but there's a strong underground church in Iran and Iraq. He told his wife that he decided to become a Christian, and she left him. Her father was a Muslim imam. And the father then took his two daughters away. He was by himself at the house. Somebody threw a grenade into the living room, and by the miracle of God, he was protected, but they tried to kill him. He said, for 6 months, I didn't go to the house. I lived on the street, and I slept in a cemetery. The interviewer, who was part of what's called Voice of the Martyrs, he drove them to the cemetery where he slept during the night. Large tombstone. He said the tombstone would block some of the wind. He's a homeless man who became a follower of Jesus Christ. The man said, that must have been hard on you. He said, it was the best time of my life. Jesus Christ was so real to me. I felt like God was with me all the time. It was a wonderful time of growth. His wife decided, you know, there'd be less scandal than divorce if I just went and lived with a Christian. So she moved back home, brought the girls back home, and she became his wife. But she said, I hated him. But I started watching his faith. I felt, she said, like his faith was so strong, I couldn't control myself. I decided to follow Jesus too. His witness in the midst of adversity persuaded this woman that Christianity was true. She became a follower of Jesus Christ. When the interview was coming to a close, Zargos looked at the interviewer and said, I have a message for the American church. The book says he looked the interviewer in the eye and he said to the American Christians, hold fast to the Bible. Hold fast to the Bible. You know, for people in Iraq, the Bible's precious. They're rare. They're burned. If you have one, you have a treasure. To the American church, we have them all over our house. It's not that we don't have them. We just don't read them. This Iraqi Christian says to you, hold fast to the Bible. Hold on to it. Believe it. Read it. Let it change your life. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, you can today. He loves you. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll come and live in your life. You can be born again today because of the power of His Spirit that's at work. Maybe today you're a believer. You say, Brother Sam, I've just drifted from God. I'm like that rocky soil that used to be depth, but man, I have gotten so far away from God. I've lost the joy. Here's the good news. You can come back. You can come back. There's nothing you've done that would keep God from loving you. And you can come back to the Lord. And you can begin the journey again. The Bible says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Maybe this morning, you would resolve in your heart. Okay? This is a crossroads. I'm deciding today, I'll be a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. Let's pray together. Lord, we need your help. I need your help. I relate to the soil that's full of weeds, Lord. I want to follow Christ. I want to become like Jesus. Lord, I want you to shape me and change me and transform me. But Lord, many times I find things in my life that distract me. Things in this world that become more important than my faith. I pray, God, this morning that you would hold my heart. Father, I pray in this place of believers today, I suspect that there's a lot of people who can relate to me. We know you love us, oh God, and we've chosen to follow you. But we really don't want our children to be the kind of disciples we've been. We want something more for them, Lord. We want to disciple them in our family. We want to be a home that's devoted to Christ. We want the world to see that we're sold out to Jesus Christ. We want to be like the wife of that Iraqi believer who saw his faith. And it changed her life. God, I pray today for people in this place. Maybe they've thought about following you, but they've never made that commitment. I pray today would be the day. I thank you, Lord, that you found Peter on the seashore of Galilee and said, follow me. And he dropped his nets and he left his boat and he followed you. And Lord, you're inviting people today to follow you. And for those of us who may have been drifted, oh God, your grace is greater than all of our sin. You continually beckon us back to yourself. So would you have your way in us today, we pray. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open. If you would like to come and pray, you want to come and kneel before God and pray. You may say, well, I don't want to come forward. Somebody might think, there's something wrong with me. I got news for you. There's something wrong with all of us. We all need help. We all need God. We all need forgiveness. But you may need to renew a commitment to Jesus Christ this morning. There'll be some people there to pray with you. You may be ready to follow Christ today. You've never chosen to follow Christ. There'll be people to pray with you here. Maybe you're ready to publicly testify of your faith through baptism. It honors the Lord when we do that. It's a public statement to the world. You can do that. Maybe you need to become part of this church family. Maybe you need to start Membership Matters. I don't know what God wants to do in your life. I know He's here and He's working in all of us. So as we sing this song of response, would you let Jesus Christ have His way, have His will in your life? As we sing together, you come.
Thank you for listening to this weekend's message. If you liked this, please consider leaving a rating or review for this podcast.